Hey, everybody, it's Alisa, and this is the January Position of the Month Club call. We're talking about one of the most elusive things, I think, in life and in marriage. We're going to be talking about time. And the truth is that there are so many things that compete for your time and my time. And I know there have been a lot of seasons in our marriage where Tony and I have felt like we're giving or getting the leftovers. And so it's my huge pleasure to introduce you to another expert. You know that each and every month we try and bring you somebody who has figured this out, bring you somebody who is an expert in the particular area that we're talking about today. And as we talk about how to break free from busyness and find more quality time for your spouse, you know, Tony and I couldn't think of anyone better than to introduce all of you to Dustin Reichman. And Dustin and his wife, Bethany, they're friends of ours. So it's actually a fun treat for us to be able to share them with you. But they're the founders of EngageMarriage.com. And I just want to tell you a little bit about what they're doing there. This is a site devoted to helping other married couples live a life they love, especially when they feel too busy to make it happen. Sounds like quite a few of us. They are regularly featured experts on a variety of media outlets and marriage building programs around the world. Dustin's passion is providing practical tools that you can use to keep your marriage fresh and fully engaged, even when life gets hectic. He's been married for over 17 years to his best friend, Bethany, and they are proud parents to three very energetic kids under the age of 13. You deserve your dream marriage, and it's Bethany and Dustin's mission to help you make it happen. And guys, we're going to put the link to their site, but you can check out everything that they do at EngagedMarriage.com. Dustin, welcome.
Right. Thanks, Lisa. Yeah, I'm very, very excited to be here, and it was fun to kind of exchange little family views in our house here before we got on. So we hopefully get to connect several times a year like this, and sometimes in real life. So it's good to see you again.
Absolutely, and it's good to see you. And I know, you know, as I'm reading who you are and what you do, I know engaged marriage, obviously. You and Bethany pour a lot of time into that. You've got the three kids, 13 and under, and you know the truth is that couples are busy. Couples, what do you see as the biggest challenges that are facing couples today?
Yeah, I think, you know, it kind of varies by stage of life, but in general, you rarely ever talk to anyone, married or unmarried, but especially if they're married with a family, that would not answer the question, you know, how you doing, by saying, I'm busy, but, you know, life's good. I'm busy, but, and we just kind of preface everything with that because it's kind of become our default state. And I think that's like the biggest challenge we all face, I mean, ourselves included, here in our house. I mean, if over in that door, you'll probably see a 13-year-old boy at some point during our broadcast. And over here, two, you know, girls, 10 and 7, because they're doing their thing right now while we're broadcasting. And that's, you know, kind of how life is, especially with kids in the house. Mm-hmm. So I'd say the biggest challenges are kind of getting overwhelmed. And with that, it's really easy to lose sight of your priorities. And we'll obviously talk about maybe some ways to counter that. But I think that's what we hear from couples. That's what we've experienced. That's kind of the genesis behind engaged marriage. You know, for all these years that we've been doing that, it all came out of this feeling of being disconnected to each other, Bethany and I. And not because we didn't love each other, not because we didn't have common interests, but because we just never really made quality time for one another because we just let busyness kind of run our show.
I think you just brought up an incredibly important point there, that there was a disconnect and it didn't come out of this place of not loving one another, which I think a lot of couples are like, oh, we're disconnected. You must not love me anymore. Maybe I don't love you. You're saying it comes because we're not spending time together.
Right. Absolutely. I mean, what other relationship do you have? If you think of your parents or your sister or your kids, you know, or God, any of those things, if you fail to devote time to that and really be conscious about it and proactively seek it out and try to invest in it, the relationship withers. Mm-hmm. And while we're in love with our spouse and, you know, maybe our relationship started just fueled by chemistry and all those things, all that is eventually going to fade away and it becomes a conscious choice. And the main way that I think that you can show love and that you can keep the feeling of being in love is just by devoting kind of your top time to your spouse if they're your top priority.
I like how you describe that as the top time.
Yeah.
Because everybody in the Position of the Month Club this month, you all have, you know, we did the timesheets, literally the timesheets, like going back to, you know, 1995 here, punch your time card. But, you know, looking at that and saying there's 168 hours in the week, right? Yeah. You've got 168, I've got, nobody gets, you know, like bonus hours for good behavior or anything like that. And there are certain things like work that are going to, and sleep, because I hope that you all are sleeping, that are going to take up chunks of those time. But it's looking at what you have to be able to go, okay, where's the top time going to my spouse?
Yeah, where are you going to pull that time out first before you start filling everything else up around it? That time, what you call the time sheet or time worksheet, and that's something we've done numerous times in our relationship, and I've called it the time audit. I have an engineering background, so I tend to be more of a nerd, but I saw your sheet. I think it's perfect, and it might be a little daunting for people at first when you look at all those half-hour blocks throughout a week, but the promising part of that is look how many half-hour blocks there are in a week, right? So you block out work and you block out sleep. You may feel like I've got no time left in the day. Chances are you have a lot more there than you think. It's just a matter of prioritizing it and doing the things that are important to you first. And I also saw some of your worksheets help people think through their priorities.
Yeah.
And I think that's absolutely vital. For one, we don't take time because we're busy to even think about what's important to us anymore. We just kind of go through the flow and go through the motions of life. But even if we internally kind of get that and we think this is important to me, my spouse is important to me, date nights are important to me, my faith is important to me, whatever your priorities are, writing that down makes a huge difference. And then the big thing is actually communicating that to your spouse, because oftentimes they don't realize even that maybe they're a priority. They don't feel it. You guys are on different wavelengths for how you express that you're a priority to each other. So if you're each doing those sheets, and then you come together after a week or two of that and say, yeah, like this is how I found, I found 3 hours this week with social media or whatever. How can we use that, mold it, match it up to your schedule and actually make, an at-home date night out of it, or reading a book together out of it, or whatever fulfills the two of you. And I think that's where you have to get really practical with this whole thing. And you can do it. I mean, we've been at the bottom. We've done really well with it, and we definitely ebb and flow, and we're certainly far, far from perfect. Mm-hmm. But like you and Tony, we talked to tons and tons of couples at different stages of life. And a lot of times that's kind of where I start with couples too, is like, have you really cataloged your time? I know what you think you do with your time, but have you actually written it down and taken an effort? Because it's pretty much eye-opening every time someone does that. So.
Well, and I think a lot of people do give well-meaning attention, or sequencing to their priorities. They'll be able to say, yeah, well, my wife was my priority, my husband's my priority, and yet when they go and do the audit, when they go and look at those half hour chunks, and I was talking to a couple earlier today, and I'm like, well, how are you guys, when are you on the calendar? And the husband looked at me and he's like, I don't know that I'm ever on the calendar.
Yeah.
And so then we start talking about how can the marriage be a priority if it's never on the calendar?
Right. Realize the calendar is filled with all the kids' activities and all the other stuff. And the reality is, if your marriage should be a higher priority than your children, which in our opinion it is, because you serve your children best by being great spouses to each other, that needs to be shown on paper, as a priority, like you said, in your calendar. That doesn't mean you necessarily spend more time devoted solo time with your spouse than the two of you do with your kids, because at some stages that's not realistic, but that's what we mean by top time. Like, hey kids, you may have one less activity that we can do this quarter because we have to have one evening a week for, for the two of us. Or maybe it's not even that extreme, and it's just you have to go to bed at 8. I don't care if you go to sleep, but you got to be out of my face. You have to be reading or doing whatever you want to do, because, mom and I need time on the couch, or need time, to out on the back deck or go for a walk around the neighborhood. Whatever it is, it's that. And that's kind of how we do it. We have some date nights, but ours is a lot about hard boundaries on when the kids go to bed, and that's when we find our time, to be a couple. So I think priorities and boundaries, that's all one and the same.
Yeah.
But none of that happens and none of it lasts unless you can quantify it and then talk about it with each other.
That's good. I think you're speaking to a lot of parents who are like, well, but the kids and the kids and the kids, and you're saying that the best way to show up in our kids' lives is to actually have a strong marriage, which means that we have to make it a priority. We have to put time into that relationship. That's what I'm hearing you say.
100%. Yeah. I mean, for us, so we're people of faith, we're Christian. So for us, it's God first, and then our marriage, and then our kids, and then, family and all the other things we do.
Sure.
And we are very intentional, not only about acting out on that, but really communicating it. So if I brought Braden over here from, the iPad at the kitchen table, he would be able to articulate those priorities pretty well for our family. And he'd be able to see that, you know, we always go, you know, to Mass on Sunday, and we always go to Sunday school, and my dad's in a men's group, my mom's in a women's group, and that those people come over to our house. Like, that's it's like ingrained in our schedule. Several times a month, he's interacting with those groups because that's part of what we do. Mm-hmm. And he knows that we have, you know, certain nights that were, he was just complaining on the way here. We went and got haircuts tonight, and we're having a late dinner. And he said, you know, where are you and Mama going Friday night? I said, oh, you know, we're going to this event up at the, you know, up at this hall, and it's a fundraiser. You know, we're doing like a Globe Bingo thing. He's like, oh, I had two different friends that invited me to events, and I had to tell them no. My mom said, you guys couldn't change your plans. I was like, no, that's important. We've had it scheduled for a month, and it's a date night for us. And he was disappointed, but it's like, he knows it's not changing.
Right.
And that, you know, that's just an example of a setting a priority on our calendar and then, you know, following through as a boundary. And they get that, you know, and again, we have from 13 to 7. We've been this way for, you know, at least 10 years in our marriage. So I hope that it's setting a healthy example, even though they're disappointed at the moment.
Well, and I often talk to couples about what's the legacy that you're leaving.
Yeah.
And what I hear in that exchange with you and Braden is that the legacy is that marriage comes first. It's the priority in the home. And so, yes, as a 13-year-old, disappointed you can't go hang out with friends, but that young man that's eventually going to be married, there's a girl out there right now that is really happy or will be really happy that you're leaving that legacy and instilling that priority into him. I want to ask, you know, because you guys hear from a lot of married couples just like we do. And do you ever hear, or how do you handle it when people are like, you know what, we're fine right now. You know, when we've got, we're just really busy. We don't have time to work on our marriage.
Yeah.
How do you guys deal with that?
Oh yeah. That's like my favorite thing. And I think it really irritates is a strong word. It really, you know, fires me up because it used to be us. It was totally us. Back, you know, that's the whole reason we call it engaged marriage. It's like, I was just playing on the word engagement, but it's more about that whole engagement thing doesn't stop when you get married. It really begins, and it's something you have to consciously do throughout your marriage. You have to stay engaged. And so, so that whole thing of, hey, we're fine, we'll do this later. I mean, we were playing that game through kid number one being born, kid number two being born. And it was between 2 and 3 that were like, you know, this actually kind of stinks. Like, you know, we're deep in debt. We don't ever have date nights. We don't really share, you know, a lot of quality time. It's all about the kids. And we can't keep putting this off because it's not getting any better. And in fact, it's getting worse. It was affecting our intimacy. It was affecting a lot of things. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we had to make some decisions around that. But, you know, what I would say to anyone listening or anyone who's said that either internally or they've actually expressed it to others is there is never going to be a perfect time for one thing, right? Like, there's always going to be something that can take that priority. If it's not your kids, it might be your work. It might be a sick parent. As you know, change to a different stage in life, there's a lot of things that are going to take that over. And one thing I hear in our kind of peer group now, we've got a lot of friends, you know, similar to us, like ages 7 to 17, as far as kids go.
Right.
And they constantly say things like, hey, this is just the way life is right now. We're going to focus on our marriage when the kids get out of here. Like, when the kids are either in high school and they're independent or they go off to college, that'll be us time. And that's such a dangerous, dangerous motive. You know, and I get why. It sounds easy and ideal. But as I'm sure you know, statistics would show that's the second leading time for divorce, is that whole empty nest thing. Because inevitably what happens is we put that off for 5 and 10 years and we say we're going to deal with marriage later and we're going to have all this great us time, and then the kids leave and now we wake up, we don't even know each other, right? Sure, you've heard it. I've heard it a lot. We're like roommates. We're not in love anymore. We don't have anything in common. Like, I don't know. You know, we're just two totally separate people living in the same home because the only thing we had in common anymore is the kids. Mm-hmm. So that's maybe an extreme example, but a very common example of this phenomenon of we'll deal with it later.
Yeah.
The other thing I would say just real quick on that is, and we talk about this a lot when we give, you know, talks and trainings, is something we call the slippery slope. Hmm. So just a real quick kind of illustration of that, because it is directly related to this question of why now, is, you know, if you think of your marriage, anyone listening, you rate your marriage in your mind as from a 1 to a 5.
Okay.
So 1 is like, not good, verge of separation. We've talked about divorce. You know, we're in pretty tough tough position. We've got broken trust, et cetera. A five is just perfect. You know, everything's perfect. This is great. So, you know, we know in reality, no one really lives at a five, at least not every day. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and if you're at a one, you can absolutely move up that scale and improve. But you're aware of it, right? You're conscious you have issues. The really scary part, the slippery part, isn't right in the middle. So if you'd say, we're fine, you'd probably say we're like a two, three, you know, we're fine, we're average. Like, we're not like exceptional, but we're not getting divorced, you know? And the scary part of that is when you're kind of at a two or a three all the time, what you'll find is that you're in a rut and you start to not really realize you're in the rut. It just becomes like status quo, and it's just another day goes by and another day goes by, and you're not really thinking about it. You're not feeling it. But as like Dr. Chapman, you know, five love languages guy would say, is that, you know, your marriage or any relationship is always growing or dying. It doesn't just stay status quo. So you're in this little cocoon and you're thinking, yeah, I think we were probably a three last year. We're probably a three now, maybe two. I don't know, you know, but it goes on and on. And what you don't realize is that you're kind of on a teeter totter, and two and a half's in the middle, and it doesn't take much to slip over to two. And then it's usually a pretty abrupt slam down to one. And so again, what we hear from couples a lot is you rarely hear someone who progressed from a four to a three to a two to a one real nice and slow. And it's like, yeah, you know, a year ago we were at a three, now we're at a two. I think next year we'll probably be at a one. We'll be getting divorced. It doesn't happen that way. You know, it's something abrupt that happens. So usually you're sitting there for so long, feeling average, feeling saying you're fine. And then it's like, bam, my husband had an affair. I don't know where it came from, right? Like, we were fine. You know, I found out she's addicted to painkillers. I found out he has credit card debt, and all these major problems come, and all of a sudden you're like slammed down to a one. You're thinking about divorce and separation. Mm-hmm. And that's what a lot of couples will say is, I just didn't see it coming. I thought we were fine. And that's what we say a slippery slope is, because you're kind of teetering when you're not purposely trying to grow and be a three, a four, and a five, like just, you know, investing that time. The time is the fuel that kind of pushes you up that slope so that you don't slam and really have some bad situations develop in your relationship. So
that's such a powerful visual of the teeter totter, and how it doesn't take much once you kind of go over that middle point.
Yeah.
And we've all been, well, maybe not all of us, but a lot of us have been on teeter totters, and we know what it feels like when you get slammed to the bottom.
Yeah.
And how abrupt that is, and how you literally like feel it all the way up your spine to the base of your head. And you're like, oh, that did not feel good. And to have that as just that visual of, that's what it looks like in marriage. You're right. Nobody kind of goes, well, we're just gradually going into, you know, separation. It is those abrupt, like, oh my gosh. And the fact of the matter is that we all face challenges.
Yeah.
Right. To our time together, to that quality time. And, you know, you and Bethany have been married 17 years. We're 21. What are some of the challenges, if you don't mind sharing, that you guys still face?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, I've already talked about historically, but I mean, I can say that we definitely still have challenges, you know, and it oftentimes is around time. Part of that is, we, you know, have different love languages. So I know you're well aware of, I'm sure your listeners are too. So mine are words of affirmation. So I like Bethany to tell me she's proud of me and that sort of thing. And I feel proud when I'm productive, right? Mm-hmm. Which means my thing to do is like work and produce and achieve and like check off the next box. And I could show you see this wall, it's like race medals. Cause like, well, that means I did something, right? Like, this is how I get fulfilled. Hers is quality time. She likes to race and do all those things, but she care less about the accolades and the achievement side of that. She doesn't keep a, you know, checkbox journal like I do about what I've accomplished this week. But hers is sitting next to each other in bed watching TV or whatever. Like, that fulfills her. That makes her feel loved, because I'm just there and I'm not working. And so that's like a constant struggle for us, is I'll be working too much and she'll feel neglected. And she won't even necessarily know it, realize it at the time. This actually happened two nights ago. Where we were, it was Saturday, because it was Saturday Night Live. And she made a comment at like 9 o'clock Central Time. So it's like an hour and a half before the show. And she's like, well, I think it's the Will Ferrell episode. So we should definitely watch that. Well, yeah, that'll be funny. And then we looked and it wasn't. That's next week. So in my mind, it meant, well, we're not watching TV, you know, as soon as the kids go to bed. So we got the kids in bed, and Braden was up later. So I went and put him in bed. And I, instead of making a straight into the bedroom and where she was at watching TV, I wrapped around the stairs and came right here and did like 20 minutes of emails and stuff, because we've been gone all day and I felt like I needed to catch up. I didn't think anything of it, because I knew she was in her bed reading and So I walk in and she's like, she just rolled over and she's like, well, I was like, well, don't you want to watch TV? She's like, no, I did 20 minutes ago. And I was like, well, Saturday Night Live wasn't on. I didn't think it was good. So that's just a very concrete, real example that just happened. Right, and that's a real conflict. Like, we kind of went to bed not on great terms because she was upset. Mm-hmm. And at the time, I was oblivious, even though I should obviously know better. But in hindsight, I totally get it. So that's a very small example, but a common one. So that's where we have those issues, is just saying I have the priority, but then sometimes missing it. Like, it's, you know, a guy. So it's a common thing that we face, in that I'm like oblivious to things that should be obvious. And she would just said, I know we're not watching Saturday Night Live, but I'd still like it if you come to bed. Mm-hmm. But absolutely forgot about the emails. I care less. I just, you know, thought it was a little window of time to be productive, because that's what I do. So that's a small example, but I'd say ours are, we've gotten really good. The positives that we've gotten really good at establishing good boundaries in our household.
Okay.
And where we mess up is when we break those boundaries. Mm. One of our boundaries is that we go to bed at the same time.
Okay.
And I broke that night. You know, I was intending to be in bed. I thought it was 5 minutes of emails. First of all, I was like, on my way to get a drink, I'm going to do 3 emails that, you know, needed, and it took 20 minutes and it became a problem. But we have boundaries when the kids go to bed. We have boundaries that we go to bed at the same time. Mm-hmm. And then we don't necessarily get up at the same time, but we both work out in the morning, and we make sure we have some amount of time in the morning, around getting the kids ready, that we can hang out and, you know, share a little bit about our day coming up and things like that. So we've got some touch points built in.
That's an interesting one when you mentioned going to bed at the same time. Now, I know I hear from a lot of my coaching clients that, you know, one will be the, you know, early to rise, mm-hmm. and one is the night owl. And so that whole bedtime thing becomes a time struggle. Are you guys both early risers? Is somebody a night owl? Like, what does that look like for you? Because I'm curious as to how you pull off the go to bed at the same time.
Yeah, we are way off. So, okay. We have completely different sleep patterns. I sleep a lot less, and this used to be a major problem. And it was one of those things that was always part of how we interacted ever since we've been married. So we didn't really realize it could be any different.
Okay.
So traditionally I would always stay up late, either work, you know, I went to a master's degree and then doing all the stuff with engaged marriage. I just always had work to do, or a project, or, you know, doing something. I'd stay up late, and that was my kind of dust in time to do what I wanted, maybe as, you know, playing video games or something, but not too often. And she would typically always go to bed early, not to read, not to sleep, but she might lay in there and read. That's where she likes to watch TV. And so we just were always separated that way in the evening. And it wasn't until we went on a marriage retreat, ironically one we were speaking at, and someone brought this whole thing up, and we're like, you know, yeah, we don't do a very good job at all of that. And I didn't think it was a big deal, but she expressed, she's like, you know, I hadn't really even thought it was possible, but yeah, if we could have a set time, like maybe she still goes to bed a little bit earlier than me, but she knows she's gonna be awake. But it's like, we could always be in our bedroom by 10 o'clock. That would be great. And so that's what we do, you know, most nights of the week, at least 6 nights a week. And again, I'm rarely asleep before maybe midnight, but I'll go in there and we might watch a show together. And then when she goes to sleep, that's typically when I read, okay. or write a journal, mm-hmm. or whatever like that. And then, yeah, and we get up at different times. So that's a great, I'm glad you said that. It doesn't mean we go to sleep at the same time necessarily. And obviously that's when a lot of our intimacy happens too. So it helps to be in the bedroom at the same time for that to happen, both plainly or spontaneously, right?
Yeah.
So that's a big reason for anyone to especially in the position of the month club,
right?
To consider right. that. But yeah, it just became a great checkpoint on her need for quality time. Mm-hmm. That's kind of when I can just lay there next to her, even if we're not focused on the same thing.
Well, and I think it's important, you know, and it's just such a practical thing that you still use that time after Bethany falls asleep, because the way you're wired to be productive and to get things done and to fill in all the check boxes and all this kind of stuff. And so you're like, I can still do that.
Yes.
I do that after I've met my wife's needs.
Yes.
Not instead of or before. And so in that, you know, whether you call it, you know, filling her love tank, or, you know, whatever phrase you want to use around that, you've got a wife that's like, okay, like, I know he's going to be here by 10, because we've established that. And it's, I think it's just such a practical a practical tip for couples that are like, we're time starved. Where do we find the time? Try going to bed at the same, you know, being in the bedroom at the same time.
In the bedroom, right. Yeah. Yeah.
What other, because I'm sure, you know, over the years that you guys have done engaged marriage and just being married 17 years, what other practical tips might benefit?
The big one, I guess we haven't touched on yet, kind of the thing we're known for more than anything is this idea of 15 minutes of couple time. And so, you know, our book is called 15 Minute Marriage Makeover. And that's a lot of what we speak about too. And the really, it's really simple, but kind of hard to do on a consistent basis, like so many important things in life. And it's basically having a pre-established 15 minute period in every day that you guys have agreed to, that that's going to be your couple time. That's going to be the time that you come together and you hang out, or you, you know, you can like our, but the book, just to give you some examples, gives you something to do for 15 minutes every day for a month. And that's why it's the makeover. You're doing it consistently for, you know, 28 days. Mm-hmm. And so after a couple of days, we typically hear from couples like, okay, now we're sitting here on the couch, we've got our 15 minutes, we don't know what the heck to do. And so we give people assignments, basically, a little like they're fun, you know, some are fun, some are serious, some are deep, some are light. But, you know, the first week is all about communication. Mm-hmm. The second week is all about romance. The third week is all about sex and intimacy and having those kind of discussions. And the fourth week is about finances. So those are the big things that couples face. Sure. And that all grew out of our own issues of, you know, even, especially when we didn't go to bed at the same time, but even with that, I mentioned that sometimes that's just kind of busy time. We're watching TV, we're reading, we still aren't necessarily just hanging out and connecting. And so it's the idea of finding 15 minutes in your schedule, and with your time sheet or your time audit, that'd be a great way to find that little period of time. For ours, it's remained consistent for 10 years. Not to say we don't miss it sometimes, but for the most part, 5-6 times a week for 10 years, we've found our 15 minutes. And for us, it's when the kids go to bed.
Okay.
So that's an important boundary for us. You know, they're a little older now, so it's typically 8:30 is kind of the cutoff time where, hey, you know, go read or do whatever you want. They don't have electronics in their bedroom, but, you know, go read and do whatever, draw until you fall asleep. But at 8:30, it's, you know, mom and dad time. Mm-hmm. We're typically found on the couch. Now, again, they're a little older. We might go for a walk in the neighborhood. We can go sit out back and have a beer or drink wine on the back porch when it's not frigid like it is right now here in St. Louis area. But the point being, we have something, we have a 15 minute time that's always for us, and it's, you know, consistent. It's, we consider it sacred. Our kids know about it. Our friends even know about it now, that like, hey, Dustin, you want to come over and watch the football game tonight, or, you know, have a bourbon or whatever, you know, in our neighborhood. Like, yeah, I got to put the kids to bed, hang out with Bethany a little bit, and I'll be over. So it's like 8:45, I'm yours. But, you know, what that does is kind of like the bedroom thing we talked about, is it takes a lot of pressure off too, because she may want to go hang out with her friends, or she may want to, you know, go watch a movie that I don't care to watch. And I may want to go do something, I want to go work or do whatever, but we are doing our own things. We come together for 15 minutes at least, and time should be longer than that. And then we can guilt-free go do our other things. Because we've agreed that this is sacred time for our relationship. So that'd be my number one thing for anyone who feels like, you know, they're starved for this quality time and this connection with their spouse on a consistent basis, is just find 15 minutes, try to make it consistent, because that makes it a lot easier to implement. That might be early in the morning. You can get up 15 minutes earlier than you do now. It might be like us when the kids go to bed. It might be in the middle of the day if you guys work different shifts and that's when you overlap. You may not be together because you're deployed or whatever. You can do it over the phone or FaceTime. There's lots of ways to do it. But if you're really consistent and you have that 15-minute window, man, it makes all the difference in the world.
I love, too, that you shared that you don't, you know, obviously if you can both be in the same place, like you said, sitting on the couch.
Yeah.
That's ideal.
It's great if you can do it.
Right. And, you know, for those of you that are in deployed situations, or maybe your husband or wife is working out of town, and so you've got the long distance thing going on, it's still saying, you know what, we're both going to FaceTime at a certain time. We're going to, you know, we're going to make this a priority. And folks, we'll put a link to the book as well, because it's one of those things. Anything you do consistently in your marriage is going to reap rewards. It's going to put you on the upper end of that teeter-totter that Dustin talked about at the very beginning. Like, you're going to be going from that 2-3 headed towards the 4.
Absolutely. Yeah. Right. If you, like, that was kind of my big promise for people, that if you'll sincerely do this 15-minute thing, and that means, when I mean sincerely, it means you're actually being a couple only. So a few kind of ground rules with that is there's no electronics,
okay,
no phone, no TV. As much as possible, try not to talk about the kids, if you have kids in your life, because that's what you talk about every other, you know, minute of the day. And so talk about yourselves and talk about your day and talk about your what you're going to do tomorrow, and hopefully talk more about like your dreams and what you'd like to do for vacation this year. And that gives you some time to really have some conversation that you just typically don't get into. And then obviously if you feel like you need some prompts or you really want it to be really constructive time and really, you know, bring in a deeper level of intimacy, that's where something like the book, or you can just go to our website. There's lots of free, freely available blog posts and things with just ideas of what you can do in 15 minutes to connect. And you guys have great connecting questions. So there's no shortage of material out there to help you get into this habit and this routine. Mm-hmm. And it'll become second nature, right? And there's nothing better than knowing that you have that time set aside for each other. And yeah, so on the scale thing, if you do the 15 minutes sincerely, consistently, I guarantee you're not going to fall off the slippery slope. I mean, unless, you know, there's mental issues or there's something else going on. But from right. intimacy and a connectedness, that's really what I've seen as the magic antidote to a lot of those problems that we face as overwhelmed and busy couples.
That's huge. And, you know, folks, I'm going to show you this, right? This is the timer that sits on my desk. This is, you know, just a regular digital timer. And I actually recommend that every couple have one of those so that you don't have to rely on the timer on your phone.
Because
it's how you get away, you know, because if you have to look at the timer on your phone, then you're like, oh, well, let me just check one thing, or let me Google, you know, let's Google what we're going to do for vacation. Yeah. And the next thing you know, it's 20 minutes of somebody staring at their phone. So get yourself a timer, set it for the 15 minutes, get that 15 minutes on the calendar every day, right? Find that consistent time when you can say, you know, we're going to, you know, if it's 8:30 to 8:45, and then I hope you all caught that, you know, after that time, Dustin and Bethany, if they want to go out with friends, if they want to, you know, go watch, you know, a movie or read a book or do something else, did you catch that he said guilt-free?
Yeah.
And the reason that it's guilt-free is because they made each other a priority first. And so everything else that comes after, you can do guilt-free.
Yeah.
So Dustin, as we're wrapping up, what is the best place for people to come and find and just connect with everything that you've got?
Sure. Yeah. Engagedmarriage.com. Simple. We're on all the social channels, of course, Facebook, Instagram, Pinterest, and all those things. They're all Engaged Marriage. If anyone has a, you know, personal question or whatever, if you want to reach out, I'm Dustin, D-U-S-T-I-N at Engaged Marriage. And Perfect. My wife's Bethany at Engaged Marriage, if you'd rather talk to her. But we love to connect, especially with the One Extraordinary Marriage audience, because I know that we have a lot of common folks between the two audiences and a lot of shared values. And so I really appreciate you letting me come on and talk about one of my favorite subjects, because it's the thing that's impacted our relationship the most.
Well, and you guys do it so well, and the power of that 15 minutes. And folks, you really, you know, so many people are like, oh, what can I do for my marriage? Well, if you give your marriage 15 minutes every day for 365 days, where would you be at the start of 2019? Like, I'm gonna throw it out there. You know, it's
what a challenge. What a great challenge for someone to pick up. Yeah.
It's tiny little window, right? You have 168 hours in the week. All we're talking about is 15 minutes a day, which ends up being an hour and 45 minutes out of that 168 hours.
Yeah, we talk about it's right at 1% of your day. So we call it the 1% difference, right?
Like if you take, I like that.
1 hour, 15 minutes, actually less than 1%
yeah.
of your day. So yeah, you can do all the other stuff you need to do and wear all the hats you need to have in life and the 99%, but just for 1%, set it aside for your spouse and really, you know, devote yourself to it. And if you're skeptical, just try it for a week.
Right.
If it's made your relationship worse, you can stop. Right? So.
But why not? Why not just strive to be in the 1%?
And
why not strive to be in the 1% of marriages that are actually investing time, not letting the phrase "I'm too busy" or "I'm so busy" become, you know, a hindrance to true intimacy? Be in the 1%. Make that time for one another. Dustin, thank you, as always, for sharing your wisdom with the One Family and specifically with the Position of the Month Club members. I know I took a lot out of it. All of a sudden, I'm starting to think about, like, what does that look like if we're, and we tend to be in the bedroom at the same time, but to be really focused about that. So yep. Thank you. That's what I'm taking away from this call. And I just appreciate you sharing with each and every one of us.
Absolutely. Well, it's my pleasure, and I'm glad I could share a little time with you.
Awesome. Thank you.
All right. See ya.